Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I did get in touch with Frosty Wooldridge, and we were having a nice little conversation before the show started. So he was telling me about how beautiful his backyard is. I think he's up at 8,000 feet there in the mountains in Colorado. And Frosty, can we pick up there? You were talking about the elk coming through, and I think the deer and the coyotes and the fox, and it sounded really great. You there, Frosty? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have you. Well, it's been a while since I've used this. Hang in there, Frosty.
Okay.
There you are. Okay. I had to click the button to actually make you live, so
Oh, okay.
I forgot.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Mark. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And as we speak each time we speak, and I'm thrilled to bring the information to really all of you that are listening across this nation and beyond. Hopefully, as we continue to bring the facts to you on all that's overlooked by the mainstream media, we can create a national discussion. And again, as I've said, the national discussion needs to be, what kind of a civilization are we going to hand over to our children, and what do we want to bequeath to them? An overcrowded, overwhelmed, unsustainable civilizations with crowded cities, congestion of cars, fossil fuel burning off the charts, air pollution into the biosphere, poisoned water, more Monsanto, we'd be gone, and certainly all of the insecticides and the pesticides and the herbicides that they promote and then spread across the land, kind of like Roundup, and the extinction rates, and of course the catastrophic climate destabilization that we've talked about. That's what I want to bring to the forefront, and if we can do that together, all of us on this show, and then the friends we talk to, it is the greatest discussion, the greatest debate that needs to take place here in the roaring 20s of the 21st century. And it's really an honor and a pleasure to be here and do this with you.
Frosty, you know, we're on the same page with the overpopulation thing. And but there's something else here that just sticks in my mind so much. And I know you probably haven't looked into this that much, but we've got Bill Gates and people like that that are pushing vaccinations. And I wonder if this somehow ties in with the coronavirus. And I might have mentioned this on our last show. I can't remember. But if the global elite, I would assume people like Bill Gates, probably George Soros, and a few others, those guys are pretty bright. They're kind of, you know, dark and evil, I guess you could say, but they're pretty bright. And I wonder, is Bill Gates, you know, he's big on vaccinations. Is this really part of the population control? You know, we're seeing the COVID-19, and you know they're going to push the vaccinations here before too long. So are we seeing, I mean, you know, you just don't want to kill off billions of people, but I think the elite may be willing to do that. I don't know. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, the one thing that I can only know is what I see, what I read, and what I experience in my own travels. Whatever's going on with the Bill Gates or Melinda Gates or any of the people that have the unbelievable financial power that they have, I can't know what their ulterior motives are at any one time. I do know that if you have a brain like Bill Gates, you have to be reading, and you've been to Africa, you've seen the horrors of Asia. You've got to be thinking somehow, some way, about population, reduction. Again, I would ask anyone that's listening to this broadcast, go to www.skill.org. There are four videos on that show that show you the future of America and the fact that what we're doing right now is unsustainable, that it will collapse. And I've said that many times on this program. And of course, again, the same is with the book Blip, by Christopher O. Clugston, C-L-U-G-S-T-O-N. The guy's a genius. I mean, he is a genius. And his book, Blip, along with his first book, Scarcity, are going to be absolutely the Bible, if you will, for our survival in the 21st century, because they spell out exactly what's coming down. And what I think I said in the last show that we were together, I did a piece on this is the greatest moment in history. And it is one of the greatest moments in history because we're facing this extraordinary COVID-19. And I don't know for all of you who know what COVID-19 stands for, but it stands for China Originated Viral Infection Disease. And the 19 is that is coming out of China, and it's the I think it's the 19th virus has been designated as the 19th virus coming from that area. If I followed the reading that I read about it, so that's what COVID-19 is. Some people call it the coronavirus, but as I've said in other shows, that's just one of more viruses that Mother Nature some think it's a bioweapon. If that's possible, they're a bunch of fools, because a bioweapon, if the wind changes, you get it blown back at you and it kills off all of your people. As far as somebody on the world stage attempting to lower the human population by dramatic means, whether through vaccines or through some kind of birth control, I have always and have hoped for 30 years now that I've been writing and speaking about this, I have hoped that the world would choose the same path as the United States, Canada, Europe, and Australia, and that is 2 children or less per female, to do it gracefully through birth control. And everybody knows that birth control is just the most gracious and compassionate way to bring human numbers into balance with the planet. Whatever somebody else may be doing on a higher level with a lot more money and a lot more power than some guy like me that's just sitting here having observed the planet for the last 50 years and traveled all over it, they may have an agenda. I don't know exactly what it is. I know one thing, though. We either bring these numbers down gracefully and with compassion through birth control, and or if these other characters like Bill Gates and other power brokers like them want to bring it down with vaccines, the third choice is going to be Mother Nature, and she's going to be the cruelest of all. Do those three answers make any kind of sense?
Oh, yeah, very interesting. It's so interesting to hear these different points of view. Mm-hmm. So right now we've got a lockdown in the U.S. In about, I think I read somewhere 158 million people are locked down now.
Right.
It's not that different for me because I work at home a fair amount anyway. So to me, it just feels a little bit better than normal, actually, because I don't have to drive into Columbus at all. It's just really great. So, but it seems that there's an economic disaster here that could happen if we stay locked down too long. Don't you agree?
That's correct. That's very correct. At some point, in order for this civilization to function and that the greater good is that all of us go back to work at some point, whether it's 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now or whatever it is, we're going to all have to go back to work. And I have been studying this a great deal and researching it. The death rate per thousand is around 5%, and the recovery rate is 95%. And this particular virus seems to be killing off those who are over 60 and definitely over 70, because they're the most vulnerable. Essentially, people that are of senior citizen status over 70 or even over 60, their bodies and their immune systems have worn out over a lifetime of battling all sorts of different viruses and bacterium and so forth, and just living itself. At some point, living just wears you out as a person. And so at some point, the country is going to have to go back to work, and unfortunately, some people are going to die. They're going to die anyway. I think we're in 1,300 cases right now, and we're up to 80,000 COVID infections in the United States and 1,300 deaths. And at some point, we will have to go back to work, and those who are going to live are going to live, and that's 90% plus. And then those who are going to die, and this is, I say this not unemotionally, because I could be one of the ones to die. I'm 73 years old. My wife is 70, so we could be picked out for the coronavirus and die because of it. And if that's what happens, then that's what happens. I've never been afraid of death. I've never even thought about it. I've lived every day of my life, and when the time comes, my date of departure comes, then it comes. That's just the way I look at life. That's why I've been able to do the things I've done in my life. So if it comes to that point, then we're going to have to go back to work. We're going to have to make the food that feeds 330 million people. We've got to have the transport that gets the food to the stores that feeds all the people that come to the stores. We have to work. We have to go to the restaurants. And the collateral damage, whatever it may be, and I'm not saying this with no, you know, because when people die, and I've had my brother has died, my younger brother's died, I've had dear friends that have died. I've been to 10 funerals in the last 2 years.
Wow.
It's painful. Yeah, it's very painful. You get to my age and people start dying around you, your friends, your own family. And so at some point, as I said, we're going to have to go back to work. And the collateral damage is those who are in the 5% that die from this COVID-19 virus, that's just going to be the way of the world. And we simply have to push forward. And Trump's is right. Somebody's going to die. But if we keep going and we don't, and we all stay in place and we hibernate in our houses and we don't do the work of the nation, we don't make the nation operate, then millions of people will die. I mean, millions, because once the food's not there in the stores, everybody's in trouble. So we really have only two choices. And that is, in the end, we have a choice to give it a couple more weeks. But after that, we have to all go back to work.
Now, I'm very lucky. I'm a software engineer. Everything, I can do my full job right from here, which sure. Makes me wonder, you know, it seems like a lot of companies spend a lot of money on buildings. You know, some companies don't have to spend all that money on buildings. And then we wouldn't have as many people driving. We wouldn't have as much traffic problems. Maybe we've learned something here, you know, that at least part of the population can work from their homes.
Well, there's no question. This is an IT world. But again, the production, the manufacturing,
right.
The
right.
goods, the transport, the dissemination of the stocking shelves, certainly restaurants, cooks, beauty salons, chiropractors. I mean, we are a people-to-people civilization, and those who can work from home, and I do. I mean, like right now, my life is nothing more than editing my forthcoming book, and also I go ride my bicycle on sunny days. Not today. It's snowing out right now. and, you know, so I do my research for my columns twice a week, and then I go to bed. That's not usually – I usually go movies, and we go dancing, and we go out to eat at Mod Market. We certainly go to concerts. We visit our friends. For the last 14 days, we have actually been holed up here in our house, and we count our blessings that we haven't caught this particular virus at this point in time, and we do go to the store once every 7 days to stock up on food, but past that, we are quarantined right here in our house.
Yeah, what I'm doing right now is I've been drinking a lot of water, taking D3, zinc, colloidal silver. Are there any antiviral protocols that you follow?
One of the things that you all might do is check out, there's a book called Alkaline pH or Die. One of the things you might do for your own health is start eating with an alkaline pH for your body. If you have an alkaline pH, and that means you're eating cabbage and kale and spinach and chard and bok choy and all of the greens. When you go into the grocery store, you literally raid all of the produce so that you are eating and consuming green plants. They seem to be one of the finest ways to boost your immune system. And it's called alkaline pH. And that alkaline pH, whereas most Americans, because they eat so much junk food out there, they have an acidic pH. And an acidic pH actually weakens your body's defenses against any and all kinds of bacterium and viruses. So if I can give you my appreciation of what to do and how to eat, you would want to eat fresh produce, obviously organic and non-GMO, in order to give your body the finest antibodies, if you will, and the finest defenses against the flu and against any and all bacterium and other viral sources out there. So that's my push, and that's what Sandy and I do.
Also, I think it's a good time for people to support local restaurants, not the chains, but the mom-pa shops that are owned by local people. And a lot of those are doing carry out right now. So like from 5 to 7 or 5 to 8, you can get some carry out. I think that's a good idea.
And we do that. There are about 6 vegetarian restaurants that we go to. Mod Market, it's called Thai Bo Thai. It's a Thai food place. Another one is a Nepalese. We have another one which is Garbanzo. These are very healthy food outlets, and because we want to support them, we order our dinner, and then we go pick it up because it's important. We're all in this together, and everyone is connected to everyone. I don't care if you're a chef or a barber or a hairdresser or a nail person or the garbage collector. We have all got to support each other, and that's the best way to do that is keep everybody working and in business. So carry out at restaurants, very, very important at this time.
You know, one thing, too, is I've kind of learned to work out at home again. And I realize, hey, I can get some pretty decent workouts at home here, you know, just by improvising, which is really cool.
Well, you certainly can. One thing, I've been an exercise nut all my life, and now that I can't swim and I can't run on the elliptical and I can't lift the weights, I do push-ups. And I have one of those stretch cords. You can get these stretch cords. They're kinesthetic stretch cords. You got two handles on them. You can do pull-ups. You can do push-ups. You can do flying lats. You can do curls. You can do tricep extensions just with one. And you can go to any Walmart right now, and all you need is one or two of those stretch cords with the handles at the end of them. And they are the best exercise you can do because they really push you to push your muscles. And the key is, yes, you need to exercise. Everybody needs to blow off that energy, move that energy, and make those muscles know that they're wanted and they're needed and they're utilized. And so, yeah, just the reps out, and you better believe it. That's what I do, and along with push-ups, and we do stretches. You got to stretch your body out. There's no question. You can't sit around and be idle, because if you do, you simply get more lethargic. You get overweight, and then you start, an unfortunate spiral toward old age, and it's not any fun.
You know, I'm still off coffee and all caffeine, and I really have to thank you for that. Because my stomach was really getting messed up.
Yeah, well, I think I told you that when you drink a cup of coffee, your blood pressure goes up 10 to 15 points. You have microscopic hemorrhages in the stomach lining. The third thing was microscopic hemorrhages in the stomach lining as your blood pressure goes up. And the third point was, and now I'm forgetting it, but there's 3 consequences coffee drinking, and none of them are good, actually.
You know, my father had really bad ulcers, and he continued to drink coffee. There is no way you could heal from ulcers with drinking coffee.
Right, that's exactly right. Coffee is, in fact, during World War II, they were drinking 10 cups of coffee to get through the night during the war, and the most bleeding ulcers came out of World War II because so many people became coffee addicts and drank so much of it that all those microscopic hemorrhages in the stomach lining simply became bleeding ulcers.
Oh, man. You know, and you can destroy yourself just by following the norms of society today.
Oh, you can. Oh, and the third point is, as far as drinking coffee, is you create PVCs, which are premature ventricle contractions of the heart. In other words, the heart will, the QRS wave is what your normal heartbeat is. And this comes from my being a cardiac catheterization medical technician for 2 years. And you see the QRS wave. I used to run the EKG on the patients that came into the room for the operation. And your QRS wave just goes QRS. It goes lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. If you see that same QRS wave when you're hooked up to the EKG, you'll see the EKG, the QRS wave goes lub-dub. In other words, it makes the heart hiccup. And once that heart hiccups, yeah, from coffee.
Coffee? From
premature ventricle contraction is caused by coffee.
That is
incredible. It unbalances the heart, and it actually makes the heart wear out. That's why all these kids that are drinking all of this caffeine with these monster drinks, do you know that some of these monster drinks, that these teenage kids have had heart attacks?
Really?
Are you aware of that? Yeah.
No.
Yep. These are documented. Yeah, these that monster drink, I think one's called Monster, then you got the 5-Hour Energy. Don't drink any of that stuff. That stuff is high-powered, mega doses of caffeine and synthetic sugars.
You know,
it'll keep you awake, all right, but it could kill you.
Yeah, is it worth it? Is it really
worth it? No, it's not worth it. No.
Oh my goodness, I cannot believe. See, I thought I really didn't associate the drinking coffee with my stomach issue.
Yeah,
because everyone drinks coffee, but literally everyone is getting those micro tears. They just don't.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm looking at a study right here. 2016 study found that energy drinks raise blood pressure, which greatly increases the risk of heart attack and stroke. It's not clear what makes energy drinks hard on the heart, but it doesn't seem to be just the caffeine. Of course, it's all the other chemicals they've got in it. I'm looking at stuff right now. And, yeah, why does my heart hurt when I drink monster drinks? Yeah, I can tell you. You're just – I mean, just look it up, and it's got bona fide – understandings. It's got bona fide reports of heart attacks from drinking monster drinks.
Can you imagine what they're putting in the vaccines?
Oh,
if the monster drinks are killing us, if the coffee is really destroying our health, what in the heck are they putting in those vaccines? Thimerosal, aluminum. I've also heard of things like
mercury.
Monkey kidney
mercury.
Cells. Yeah, mercury. Oh, gosh.
Mercury. That's right.
It's horrible.
That's exactly right. Oh, yeah.
And I've
it's
heard
really horrible.
That when you take these vaccines, that it may make you immune for the one thing that it was designed for, but it actually lowers your immunity overall, and you're more likely to have other problems, or you know, you might get other strains of the flu, if you understand what I'm saying there. But
sure.
Have you heard any of that? Have you heard anything?
I haven't followed that, so I would have to do a lot of research to get to that understanding. But again, if you're anything that's not natural, has some sideway events to it, has collateral damage, no question.
You probably don't. I know we're down to about 6 minutes, Frosty.
Sure.
So I just want to give you a little warning. You probably don't take hardly any drugs at all, do you? Any prescription drugs?
Don't take any drugs. The one thing, being a cardiac catheterization med tech way back in 1971 when I became a vegan, now 49 years, is my dad dying of a heart attack at the age of 46, and my one brother died at 50 because he wouldn't pay attention to me, and my other brother had a stroke at 55. I treasure living. Living, this is a one-time gig. You get your 70 or 80 years in, and that's it. You don't get to do a mulligan on this one. And so make the best of it. In fact, one of my books coming out is called the Book of Wisdom, and it's filled with vignettes. And I've been writing the book for like 5 years now, and it won't come out till probably 2021. But this is such an extraordinary moment in the universe, and that you have this 70 or 80 year span here. Even if you only have 40 years, you know, Jack London only had 40 years, Thoreau only had 40 years. And to be able to live this life, I want to stretch it out. Every sunrise I can see and every sunset I can experience, to me that's a plus, so that when I finally check out, that my last day on the planet, I want to have a big smile on my face that I maximized everything and I did the best I could to stay healthy and creative and curious and do my best for myself, my family, and my fellow human being. That to me is really a wonderful choice in life, and that's what I've made.
And your new book, how's it coming along?
Okay, well, Baby Boomers Bicycling the West Coast should be out in 2 months. And because it's been so hard to get this thing really edited and squared away, my other forthcoming book, America's Overpopulation Predicament, Blindsiding Future Generation, that's not going to be out until probably late fall. So I'm working diligently daily on these books, and just one thing at a time, but that's where it's coming. That's what's going on right now.
4 minutes left. Give us some closing thoughts on this shutdown and what's going on. And I think this may be a trend. I just have the feeling that this kind of global problem is going to become more likely as overpopulation continues. Go ahead.
You would be very correct. Mother Nature is going to send more viruses toward the human race in the 21st century, because we are clearly the one species that has overrun the carrying capacity of the planet. You could actually say that the human race is a cancer on this planet, and there are too many cancer cells, and we're adding 83 million more cancer cells every year, net gain. We're about to hit 10 billion, in other words, 2.5 billion more of ourselves, and we are not going to get away with this. Mother Nature is not going to tolerate it. She's going to send more viruses and more plagues and more consequences as we overwhelm her. And you overwhelm Mother Nature, I guarantee you, she is a benign and very merciless lady. And in the final analysis, either we make choices that bring our numbers gracefully into balance with this planet, or Mother Nature is going to do it for us rather brutally and without mercy. That is what we face. That's what's coming. This particular COVID-19, it'll drop in a bucket compared to what else she's going to send our way.
Wow. Thanks, Frosty. It's a pleasure talking to you. Have a good evening, sir.
I will. And God bless everyone, and quarantine and take care of yourselves and your families. And then let's move forward. And again, that alkaline pH, you can get all the information on that. And do the best you can to feed yourself right and exercise and maintain that social distance. And we can all come through this thing, hopefully.
Good night. Thanks, Frosty.
Good night.